Parshas Kisisa tells us the story of the Chet HaEgel and the subsequent breaking of the Luchos by Moshe Rabbeinu. Reb Shimon Shkup was a Rosh Hashiva in Grodno. He was a Ram in Telz before that. He was a Rebbe in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yochanan for a year. Reb Shimon wrote a sefer called Sharei Yosher. They also published many of his shirim. He lived... He passed away in 1940, and Reb Shimon was one of the Gedolei Rosh HaYeshiva from that generation, along with Reb Baruch Ber Leibowitz. Reb Shimon, in his introduction to the Sefer Sharei Yosher, asks a very basic question on the whole episode of the breaking of the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, having already been told, Leich Reid Kishiches Amcha, go down, Hashem tells him, because the Jewish people have acted corruptly. He comes down, he sees what happens, he takes the Luchos and he smashes them to the floor. And Reb Shimon asks, I don't understand, why did he have to do that? As if like a temper tantrum. He had to smash the Luchos. Why smash the Luchos? Why not say, you know what, Klal Yisrael, I don't think that you're ready for the Luchos just yet. I'm going to put them to the side. And when you guys do tshuva, I will give them to you. I'm going to hold them for you. Wouldn't that have been the more, seemingly more appropriate reaction, response to the episode of the Chet HaEgel? But instead he comes and he smashes the Luchos. Well, why would he do that? Didn't seem like the best thing to do. So listen to what Reb Shimon says. Reb Shimon says... Reb Shimon quotes a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin, on Daf Nun Dalet, darshins a pasuk to teach us that had the Luchos Rishonos not been destroyed, had Moshe Rabbeinu kept those Luchos, you know what would have happened? What would have happened is that any time a person learned Torah, the Torah would have just stuck. It would have been Charus al haluchos, that it was ingrained in a person. A person would learn it once, and without even working hard at it, they could attain mastery of the entire Torah. That was how the Torah was originally set up to be. It was the Michtav Elokim, it was the words of God, and there were no rules and no guidelines for how to attain Torah. And Torah would have been available to anybody, anyhow, anyway. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood when he saw the Egel, says Reb Shimon, he saw the Egel, he saw that maybe it's not such a good idea. You know, before that we had a whole Klal Yisrael full of people who worked very hard to come out of Mitzrayim and saw the Yad Hashem and things were great. And at that point, maybe we should have just given full access to everyone. Everyone should have been able to learn to the extent that they want and very easily attain mastery over the whole Torah. But then Moshe Rabbeinu sees what can happen when people are left to their own vices. He saw that the people can act corruptly. He saw that people can take good and turn it around. And because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what, wait one second. I don't know if this is really the best thing for the Jewish people to have this type of access to Torah Hashem. And so Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what, I'm going to smash these Luchos. I break the Luchos, no more Michtav Elokim. That's it. The Luchos that were written by Hashem are no longer going to be available and accessible to the Jewish people. I'm going to rewrite the Luchos by myself. Now, once it becomes a human endeavor, there's going to be guidelines, there's going to be rules to how you have to attain Torah, how you have to be Kona Torah. And Reb Shimon says it was from that moment on, when Torah became a unique subject, that Torah became something where it's not the Kinyan Torah. If you learn the Brisa at the end of Pirkei Avos, the Kinyan Torah is not just that you read a textbook and you attain mastery. Torah is a lifestyle. Torah is something that we gain through... There are many of the Kinyani Torah where you have to do something that doesn't seem... You have to be humble. You don't have to be humble to become a scientist. You don't have to become humble to be a mathematician, but you have to be humble to be Kona Torah. And a lot of the kinyanim are not necessarily concepts that we would think that would be necessary to acquire and to attain when it comes to a mastery of any given subject. But yet, when it comes to Torah, because Torah was created by man, says Rav Shimon, it now required us to do certain things in order to be kona it, and it wasn't accessible to all. Because Rav Shimon saw that if it would be accessible to all, people would take it and would turn it around and use it in a corrupt way, just like they did with the eagle. And therefore, says Rav Shimon, the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed the luchos, he didn't do it in a fit of rage that he was so angry at what happened. No, he would have put it to the side. He would have said, "Listen, guys, as soon as you do tshuva, I'm going to give it right back to you." But he saw that it was the wrong thing to do. He smashed the luchos so that he can get a second man-made version. And this man-made version, there are what he calls tanayim miyuchadim. There were specific guidelines for how you're able to be kona. And the first guideline, the tanai rishon, says Rav Shimon, was the amel and the yigia, the toil and the hard work, the effort that went into Torah. It's a pshat in why Moshe Rabbeinu decided to break the luchos, but it's also an important lesson for how we approach Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah is not a subject like any subject. Limud HaTorah is, on the one hand, it's the Dvar Hashem, but on the other hand, we took it out of the realm of Michtav Elokim, and it became the Michtav of Adam. It became a human endeavor. And that's really what Torah Shebaal Peh is. It's a human endeavor. It is toiling and working hard to understand, to be able to connect to the Dvar Hashem. We no longer have that direct access that you read it once and it sticks with you forever. And that's how we have to approach the Torah. We have to realize that we have to work hard for the Torah. Our midos have to be there in order to be Kona Torah. If we don't have midos, then our Torah is worthless. It's not a real connection to Torah Hashem. We might have information in our brains, but if it hasn't affected the way that we act, the way that we behave, so then it hasn't really had that imprint on us that it's ultimately supposed to have. I just want to share a few anecdotes about how we see that this is very true. The level, and Reb Shimon was really focusing on the effort and the toil that goes into learning Torah and studying Torah and being mechadesh chidushei Torah, explaining the Torah. All of these things come about because we have a luchos shnios, and we have to work harder. And it's not only the difference between getting it and not getting it. It could also be the difference between how much of the Torah we get. Reb Aryeh Leib Heller was the We know him as the Ketzos HaChoshen. Now, it's interesting because the Ketzos HaChoshen was not the only sefer he wrote. Somebody once asked him, he wrote the Ketzos HaChoshen, which was a commentary on Choshen Mishpat, which is one of the four volumes of Shulchan Aruch. He also wrote a sefer called Avnei Miluim, which is a a perush on Eben HaEzer, a different volume of Shulchan Aruch, right? There's Aruch Chaim and Yerodea, which are the ones that affect us most on a daily basis. Aruch Chaim is about davening and about Shabbos and about Yomim Tovim, and Yerodea is about keeping kosher and the like. And Choshen Mishpat is monetary law, Eben HaEzer is marriage and divorce and related laws. And his perish on the Ketzos HaChoshen on Choshen Mishpat is much more well-received in the Torah world. Not to say that the Avnei Miluim is a pushover, but the Ketzos HaChoshen is something really, really special. And somebody once asked him, like, how it was that the Ketzos gained such fame, and somehow the Avnei Miluim, not as much. So the author of the Ketzos responded very quickly. He knew right away. He said, you know why? Because I wrote the Avnei Miluim. He didn't live such a long life. I think he only lived till somewhere in his 40s. But he wrote the Avnei Miluim when he was older and he was more financially stable. He said that he wrote the Ketzos when he was younger and he didn't have significant heat available. He didn't even have paper available. He used to write the Chidushim of the Ketzos on scraps from other books, from covers of books. They would take a bunch of papers and squeeze them together and make that into a cover. of a book, and that's what he would write. He would take scraps, he would peel scraps off, he would write on that. He didn't even have paper to write on. And how would he get the ink? So says he used to keep the ink. It was so cold, he would sit under his covers and he would put the ink under his covers, because if he would take the ink out, and listen to it, he would take the ink out from under the covers, it would freeze and he wouldn't be able to write with it. In order to keep it in a liquid form, he literally needed to keep it under his covers. And because of that extra toil and that extra effort, he said the quality of the chidushim was so much greater. We find a similar thing. There's a Sefer Shagas Aryeh, another Aryeh Leib, Rabbi Aryeh Leib Ginsburg. He was first a Rav in the town of Volozhin, and ultimately, later in life, he moves to the town of Metz, and he's the chief rabbi, or the Rav of the town of Metz. And he wrote a Sefer, he's known for his Sefer Shagas Aryeh, but he also wrote a Sefer on Chidushim on Shas, on a couple of Masechtas, called Gvuras Aryeh. Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich, I mentioned earlier, Rav Baruch Ber said that there was a, he said his Rebbe, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, learned through the Shagas Aryeh and the Gvuras Aryeh, and he said the quality of Chidushim was considerably greater in the Shagas Aryeh than it was in the Gvuras Aryeh. And Rav Baruch Ber explained, you know why there was such a big difference? There was such a big difference because the Shagas Aryeh was written when he was the Rav in Volozhin. And in Volozhin, he barely was able to make ends meet. He didn't have such a big salary, and he really struggled. And it was difficult, and he learned under difficult situation, under difficult condition. And in those difficult conditions, he was still able to work hard and to toil, and it was that much more difficult to focus his energies on his learning. And because of that, the chidushim were that much greater. But when it came to the Gvuras Aryeh, that was later in life when he was the Rav in Metz. When he was Rav in Metz, he was already a world famous goon. So to speak, you know, when he got the big contract in Metz, Baruch Hashem, all his material needs were taken care of financially, and he didn't have to worry about that. So it was much easier for him to focus on his learning. Because it was much easier, he didn't have to toil as much, the chidushim didn't come out the same. Now, if you think about it, we're talking about the same person. And we're talking about, in both cases, by the Ketzos and by the Shagas Aryeh, it's the same person. And it's also, he's sitting over a Gemara or over whatever he's learning, right? And he's trying to understand, why would it make a difference how much money he has in his bank account? But I think the answer is, and this is what Reb Shimon was alluding to, there's something about working hard. This is not a regular subject that you could sit on a lounge chair with your feet up drinking a pina colada and expect to be successful in your Torah learning. Yeah, you could read the book just like you can if you're sitting on a chair at a table or at a shtender. You could do it the same. But because this is Dvar Hashem written by man, you're going to have to work harder to be able to connect to the real Dvar Hashem. You're going to have to put in more Omel and Yegiyah. And if you do that, you'll see that the level of your learning will go up. It's not just whether or not you read the words of the book, but it's the effort that goes into that. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu felt that the Klal Yisrael shouldn't have the first Luchos. It's not, he could have put it to the side, but he saw that it wasn't good for them to have direct access to the Dvar Hashem. They needed to have the toil and the effort in order to be able to succeed in the long term.